Okay, so let's just jump right in with a statistic that really sets the stage for this. In the general population, it's about, what, 1.7% of people are on the autism spectrum?
Right, that's the baseline.
But then you look at the transgender and gender diverse community, and that number jumps to around 11%.
It's a massive overlap. I mean, that's more than a six-fold increase. And, you know, for a long time, the assumption was purely social.
That these are just communities that overlap or talk to each other more.
Exactly. But the research we're diving into today, epidemiological studies, brain development, even AI ethics, it all points to something much more fundamental, this neurogender nexus.
So the sources are saying we really need to move past the social contagion narrative.
We have to. The data is pushing us towards the biology. For years, the main theory was the extreme male brain.
The idea that high prenatal testosterone kind of masculinizes the brain, right?
Right. But that's a very binary way of looking at it. And it just doesn't explain the huge spectrum of gender variance we actually see in the real world.
Okay. So what's the alternative the sources are pointing to?
It's something called neuroendocrine desynchronization. It's not about too much or too little of a hormone. It's about timing.
Timing.
Yes, specifically gestational week 7. That's the deadline.
Week 7. Okay, so what's happening then?
That's when the body's gonads differentiate. They become male or female, and they release this huge hormonal surge.
And the brain is supposed to be ready for that signal.
Ideally, yes. It uses that signal to organize its neural circuits to match the body. But autistic development often runs on a different clock, a different rhythm.
So the brain could literally be out of sync with the body's big moment.
Exactly. And if the brain's neural circuits miss that specific hormonal window, they might stay in what the researchers call a bipotential state.
So the body has picked a lane, male or female, but the brain's wiring is still open, diverse.
Precisely. And that's a huge shift. It suggests this isn't a choice made later. It's rooted in our phenotype. It's hardware, not software.
But the software society, that's what determines if we even notice the hardware. Which brings us to the diagnostic gap.
Yes, specifically the female autism phenotype.
The idea that autistic women and girls just present differently.
Totally. They're often much better at mask, you know, creating social scripts to fit in. So they fly under the radar for years.
And are often only diagnosed when they seek gender-affirming care as adults.
Right. And where you live in the world has a massive impact on whether you ever get diagnosed at all.
You're talking about that South Korea statistic from the notes.
It's just wild. The official government data said autism prevalence was 0.046%, barely there.
But that wasn't right.
Not even close. When researchers went in and did active, rigorous screening, they found it was actually 2.64%.
That's almost 50 times higher.
50 times. So basically, if you're in a wealthy country with a high human development index, you have the resources to find these cases. If not, you're just shy or difficult.
And this creates a huge ethical minefield when we get to medical intervention, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because we have two completely different sets of rules for these two intersecting identities.
How so?
Well, with autism, the medical model talks about prevention. Things like prenatal screening. It's controversial, sure, but it's medically normalized as a way to reduce disability.
But you can't apply that logic to being transgender.
You absolutely cannot. Preventing transness is seen as deeply unethical.
Because of the whole history of conversion therapy. Yeah.
It caused profound harm, suicidality. The consensus now is that being trans is about being a person. It's not a condition you cure. But then the sources throw this curveball in.
Body integrity identity disorder, BID.
Yes. The condition where a person has an overwhelming desire to amputate a perfectly healthy limb.
And the ethical question is, what?
The question is, if we affirm a person's need for surgery to align their body with their gender identity, why do we treat the desire to align their body with their mental map by removing a limb as a delusion? It really tests the consistency of our ethics on body-mind mismatch.
That is a very difficult line to walk. And it seems we might be programming that same confusion into our technology. I was surprised by the AI section. I think there's this assumption that AI is becoming more progressive.
The source material shows the exact opposite. AI models are trained on the internet, which is basically an archive of our past. And our past is overwhelmingly cisnormative.
It assumes the gender binary is the default setting for humans.
It doesn't just assume it. It learns it as fact. And it's not just repeating our biases. It's actually amplifying them. One study found that large language models often failed to even recognize non-binary as a human category.
What did they think it was?
For some models, it was a less probable category than non-human objects.
Wow. So scaling up the AI doesn't fix the problem. It just cements the old bias into the code.
It bakes the binary right in.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. The connection between autism and gender diversity seems to be biological, not social, maybe rooted in that week 7 desync.
Right. We also know our society is pretty bad at recognizing it, and our new technology might actually be even worse.
And this leads to the final takeaway from the sources.
Minority stress. The idea is that the unhappiness we see isn't inherent to being autistic or trans. It's the constant friction of living in a world, and now a digital world, that simply wasn't built for you. The solution isn't to fix the person, but to accommodate the diversity.
So here's a thought to leave you with. If our AI is just a mirror showing us our own past prejudices, how do we teach it to recognize the complex reality of human identity as it is now, not just as it was? Or is it doomed to always be a generation behind, enforcing rules we're already trying to outgrow?
That's the big question.
Thanks for diving in with us.